Right, good morning everyone. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Elizabeth? Is that... I'll just adjust that. Sorry.
Say one.
That's fine. Okay. So, Grace again this morning. I'm really pleased that we're doing this series. I don't know about you, some of you will be far more knowledgeable about grace than I ever will be. But for some of us, and that includes me, it's one of those words that I think we can take for granted a bit. Sort of part of the Christian vocabulary, the Christian lexicon. We think we know what it means, but we probably struggle to explain it to somebody who is inquiring. To me, it's got a, or it's had a fuzzy sense of God's goodness. So for me, this has been a welcome chance to explore this a bit further. What does it mean? What does grace look like to you and me in daily life? Which may not be spectacular. We, for the most part, live in fairly ordered lives. So our lives may not involve spectacular turnarounds, like we read in the Bible. Like Peter, who, as we know, famously denied Jesus three times, and then within a few weeks, was standing up proclaiming wonderfully to the crowds at Pentecost. Like Paul, who I will come back to in a moment. Like people like Brian Heasley, who I never heard of, but he was one of those who spoke at the recent Salt and Light event at Lentwood, and a few of us were there, who met God in a prison cell, and now has given his life to prayer ministry and to evangelism in hard places. But in the real world, in our worlds, in the day-to-day, how do we recognize grace? How do we embrace it? How do we engage with it? How do we use it? How do we share it? So these are the questions that I've had on my heart as I've been preparing. And I have been drawn to the wisdom of a couple of people who I acknowledge. These aren't their thoughts entirely, they're just snippets from what they've passed on to me through reading and hearing. But one is Philip Yancey, who's written extensively on the subject of grace. Rob's looking at me, nodding affirmatively. He's got a lot of books with the word grace in the title. And another of the speakers at Lenchwood recently, Claire Boko, a young woman who with her husband is a missionary in Africa, in Darfur. So, what is grace? Philip Yancey puts it like this. The world view is that if you behave badly, then you should get, and often do get, what you deserve. Grace doesn't recognise that at all. Not only do you not get what you probably deserve, you are offered God's abundant, overflowing love. We deserve God's wrath, but we receive his love. Outrageous grace. In the words of the song, which I hope I'm going to be able to play briefly at the end. It may or may not work. One thing I do give thanks for to God for today, about 10 minutes before the service, I was convinced you were going to have to remember all the words of those songs because I couldn't get the AV to work. I knew I put it all on the computer because I'd set it all up in the week, but that magic connection between the computer and the screen was eluding me. But we went out and prayed, didn't we, Colin? We came back and I did a bit more fiddling, and the Lord intervened, so that was wonderful. And whether he will let me play out Rosa's grace, we need to pray, please, for another miracle. So when we start to explore grace, there are so many threads to it, and countless books, and this isn't going to be an academic treatise of any sort. I'm not equipped to do that. I've just chosen three points that have spoken to me, which I hope will speak to you today and are relevant to us in the day to day. The first point is God's grace is wholly unconditional. So there's nothing that you or I can do to make God love us any more. Equally, there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. It's completely unconditional. And it's available constantly at any time. For me, a helpful analogy is the water that flows from the springs in the hills where we live. I did go and take some video of the spring up Evendine Lane, but that was definitely a challenge too far for this morning, I'm afraid, getting on the stream. You know what it looks like. If you go up to Evendine Lane, there's a trough at the side of the road. There's a pipe about that big that comes out from the side of the hill and flows into the trough. You can just go and fill up. Just go and fill up your water bottles from there. This is the water that we drink at home. It's pure, it's clear, with a clean taste. And it's so good to drink. So good that the Queen drank it when it was commercially available from here in Cornwall by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, it said on the bottles. I just have this thought that maybe she still does. I wonder whether one day we might just come upon somebody stepping out of a Land Rover near one of the springs in a footman's uniform, filling up the bottles and taking them back down to London. Anyway, every couple of weeks we go up to the top of Evendine Lane and fill our bottles. And this is the thing. Whatever the season, however wet or dry the weather, at any time, night or day, in the midst of a storm or on the balmiest of evenings, the water always flows just the same. It's cool, pure, refreshing, good. God's grace is the same. Never more, never less. Available constantly. Refreshing. Good. So when we fall short, when we do something we should not, or when we realise that we did nothing when we could have acted or should have acted, God's grace, his love, is available to us. So that's the first point. And the second follows on directly. But to receive God's grace, we have to embrace it. We have to respond to God. God's grace is available always, but we have to engage with God. Claire Boko at Lenchwood spoke about Paul. I imagine we're all familiar with the basics of Paul's conversion story. How he was the arch persecutor of the early followers of Jesus after Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And he was on his way to Damascus to hunt down followers of Jesus and take them back to prison in Jerusalem. And we're familiar with what happened as he neared Damascus. It's recorded in chapter 9 of Acts. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And how does Paul reply? Anyone remember? Who are you, Lord? So that is Paul, struck down and blinded, responding to God, recognizing God, recognizing his power. And that question, who are you, Lord, is the beginning of a lifelong conversation, a lifelong relationship that Paul had with God. God yearns for each one of us to have a relationship with him, to be in that conversation with him. It's through relationship that God transforms lives. We are all on a journey with God and at different stages on that journey. I struggle as much as anyone with this, but I do know that it is the moments of connection with God that change everything. Now, this is nothing spectacular, but I believe it shows how grace can work. About 15 years ago, I and Jill with me seemed to be confronted with one challenge after another. Professionally, changes were forced upon me. This brought financial uncertainty. Two of our children were causing regular angst in their late teens and early 20s. We were increasingly uncomfortable at the church where we served in positions of responsibility. Probably because of all this, I found myself in hospital for 4 days with dangerously high blood pressure. Through this period, we prayed. And at some point, we moved church to Riverside. Riverside Church in South Birmingham, which was a revelation. I remember we went to Spring Harvest, where the teaching and worship was particularly inspiring. And it may even have been at that Spring Harvest that we heard that song that I spoke about, Outrageous Grace. And that was the time that I learned to trust and to talk with God. With hindsight, I can see how he poured out his grace in so many ways, leading me to absolutely the right place to pursue my career, protecting our children and us, guarding my health, and blessing me first at Riverside Church, and then leading us to Colwall and Cocotube. So it's the times of connection and conversation that we grow. So I come to the third point. So the first point, God's love is unconditionally and freely available at all times. Second point, we need to engage with God. The third point, having received God's grace, how do we use and share it? Or is it just something to be thankful for and move on? Right after Paul's conversion, Ananias is doubting whether this can really be true, this man who was such a persecutor of the Christians. God speaks to him about Paul and says, this man Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and before the people of Israel. God poured out his grace on Paul for a purpose. This is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and before the people of Israel. Right at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, in verse 5, Paul writes, "Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his name's sake, We received grace and apostleship to call people to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul recognized that he had a purpose, and he spent the rest of his life in God's service. We are called, each of us, to talk with God and define what God's vision is for us as his chosen instrument. Claire Boko at Lenchwood called this enabling grace. God has a purpose for us, and we need to listen and to know what it is. He will give us his enabling grace to engage in the task given to us, to persevere in it when the task is hard, to demonstrate grace to the world. Claire Boko spoke powerfully on the point of perseverance about how she and her husband have been in Darfur for 6 years, and after 5 years had very little to show for their hard work. But they prayed and they prayed and they stuck at it, and how all that work has been wonderfully blessed with people coming to Christ in the last 12 months. It is powerful when people see, receive, hear about acts of grace, when they are impacted. They ask, why do they do that? Why are these people different? It's that that opens the door to conversations about faith and about Christ. Some of you may know the radio program Saturday Live on Radio 4. Each week, they broadcast a story from someone who was the beneficiary of kindness, mercy, quick thinking from a stranger they have never been able to thank. These are people who found themselves at a point of great need, even great danger, great sadness. Some of these stories are very moving, and I am sometimes left thinking, surely that stranger must have been motivated by their Christian faith. Surely they must have been a Christian. The impact is demonstrated by the fact that years later, sometimes 20 or 30 years later, the beneficiary of that kindness, that act of grace, is motivated to share their story on national radio. So all that time, that event has been an important part of their personal story. We all have the opportunity to act gracefully. There are those in our church family who we know go above and beyond with acts of grace. This is often unsung, and we do not recognise it as much as we should. But then, those who act this way will probably be embarrassed by public recognition. But we see it, and the community sees it, and the community talks about it. Such acts are an important witness of our faith. Probably we all regret moments when we could have acted gracefully and did not. I know I do. So coming to the end now, just to summarise, God's grace, his undeserved love, is freely and constantly available to us all. We need to engage with God's grace, to come closer to him, to listen to him, to seek out the purpose for which God has poured out his grace on us. And we are called to share that grace, to demonstrate it to the world. And if this call, understandably, is daunting, then remember Paul's words from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. That's all I want to say. I will try to play this song, but please just use a couple of minutes to reflect on the talk on grace. And if the song works, then hopefully that will help as well.
John's just having a little play around. It's time to think about how do we respond? How do we respond to God's grace? That pure, clean, cool, refreshing, good, constant, steady, available grace. I was listening. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about that story about the woman at the well. And Jesus was tired and he turned up at the well, and this lady came out in the middle of the heat of the day, and she wanted to avoid everybody, and her life had been a mess. She'd had five husbands, she'd got another bloke on the scene, and Jesus said, "One sure thing, if you drink from this well, you'll get thirsty again." And Jesus offered something different. The woman wanted this because it would remove her guilt and shame and set her free. This new option, a Holy Spirit-filled life full of hope that we know about, that was lasting forever and was reliable, something perhaps she had not ever experienced. And the woman replied to Jesus and she said, "Sir, please give me a drink of that water that you're talking about. Then I won't get thirsty and have to come to this well again." She didn't want to make that walk of shame, hiding from everybody else. She wanted to be set free. And this is what our faith is about, isn't it? Reaching out for undeserved kindness. So it's a let off. The guilt's gone and we're set free. So the disciples had come back with some food and the lady did a scarper. She ran off. But she wasn't full of guilt and shame. She went off to share with her neighbours about this exciting new salvation. She wanted to encourage them to meet with Jesus, and she did, and many came to a faith. So John mentioned we have a purpose. We have an understanding of this grace. If you don't, come and talk to us. We'll pray with you. We'll listen to you. We'll encourage you. This is key to a full life, is to understand that we have been given this undeserved kindness from God, which is steady and available. Available when we mess up, yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. And we can go to God and we can say, "I've messed up, Lord, forgive me, please." He's already done it. Hallelujah, he's already done it. So we have a chance to respond and we have a purpose to share.
Mm-hmm.
sorry, clearly the sound isn't going to come on the video. I'm sorry about that. So...